Happy Sunday. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, my name is Jim DeJunis, and I'm reading to you for the North Carolina Reading Service. And the name of our program is Reflections. For the next half hour, I'm going to read to you from the book of Isaiah. And we'll also read a small daily devotional from Sarah Young called Jesus Calling. And, of course, we start with prayer. Lord Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, we are so grateful to be in your presence, Lord, always. When we awake in the morning, when we go to sleep at night, and all times in between, we know you are there, and we are encouraged, Lord, by that. For all things are for your glory, the good things and the bad things. We look to please you, Father, by demonstrating our faith in your Son, Jesus, and we thank you for that mighty gift of faith and the mighty gift of salvation, the mighty gift that Jesus Christ himself was obedient to the point of death, went down to hell, and he rose again on the third day to destroy our sins, that we may have a relationship with you, Father, a holy relationship, a righteous relationship, a relationship that gives us peace this day and every day. Sarah Young, on August 30th, tells us, "There is no place so desolate that you cannot find me there." When Hagar fled from her mistress Sarah into the wilderness, she thought she was utterly alone and forsaken. But Hagar encountered me in this desolate place. Then she addressed me as the living one who sees me. Through that encounter with my presence, she gained courage to return to her mistress. No set of circumstances could ever isolate her from my loving presence. Not only do I see you always, I see you as a redeemed saint, gloriously radiant in my righteousness. That is why I take great delight in you and rejoice over you with singing. And we have a long reading today from Genesis that helps support this. And it says, "But the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness on the road to Shur. And he said, 'Hagar, Sarai's maid, where did you come from and where are you intending to go?' And she said, 'I am running away from my mistress Sarai.' The angel of the Lord said to her, 'Go back to your mistress and humbly submit to her control.' Also the angel of the Lord said to her, 'I will multiply your descendants exceedingly so that they shall not be numbered for multitude.' And the angel of the Lord continued, 'See now, you are with child and shall bear a son, and shall his name Ishmael, God hears, because the Lord has heard and paid attention to her affliction. But he, Ishmael, will be as wild as he will be a wild ass among men. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he will live to the east and on the borders of all his kinsmen.' So she called on the name of the Lord, who spoke to her, 'You are a God of seeing.' For she said, 'I have not even been here in the wilderness, and you looked upon me who sees me and lived. Or have I also seen the future purposes of designs of him who sees me?' Therefore the well was called Beer Lahai Roi, a well to the living one who sees me. It is between Kadesh and Bered." So last week we read through several chapters of Isaiah. We got through chapter 18, and we read a number of prophecies of different nations. And woe to those nations that had taken advantage of Israel and Judah over time. It was not going to be a pleasant day for them in the eyes of God. And there were several rulers that were very prideful and gave God no credit to their success or no credit to their power and wealth. They thought it was them. And I hope that reminds us that we should always be thankful to God for all of our circumstances. And we should pray, and we should be thankful, and we should worship him always. So Isaiah, chapter 19. A prophecy against Egypt. See, the Lord rides on a swift cloud and is coming to Egypt. The idols of Egypt tremble before him, and the hearts of the Egyptians melt with fear. I will stir up Egyptian against Egyptian. Brother will fight against brother, neighbor against neighbor, city against city, kingdom against kingdom. The Egyptians will lose heart, and it will bring their plans to nothing. They will consult the idols and the spirits of the dead, the mediums and the spiritists. I will hand the Egyptians over to the power of a cruel master, and a fierce king will rule over them, declares the Lord Almighty. The waters of the river will dry up, and the riverbed will be parched and dry. The canals will stink. The streams of Egypt will dwindle and dry up. The reeds and the rushes will wither. Also the plants along the Nile, at the mouth of the river. Every sown field along the Nile will become parched, will blow away, and will be no more. The fishermen will groan and lament. All who cast hooks into the Nile, those who throw nets on the water, will pine away. Those who work with combed flax will despair. The weavers of fine linen will lose hope. The workers in cloth will be dejected, and all the wage earners will be sick at heart. The officials of Zoan are nothing but fools. The wise counselors of Pharaoh give senseless advice. How can you say to Pharaoh, I am one of the wise men, a disciple of the ancient kings? Where are your wise men now? Let them show you and make known what the Lord Almighty has planned against Egypt. The officials of Zoan have become fools. The leaders of Memphis are deceived. The cornerstones of her people have led Egypt astray. The Lord has poured into them a spirit of dizziness. They make Egypt stagger in all that she does, as a drunkard staggers around in his vomit. There is nothing Egypt can do, head or tail, palm branch or reed. In that day the Egyptians will become weaklings. They will shudder with fear at the uplifted hand that the Lord raises against them. And the land of Judah will bring terror to the Egyptians. Everyone to whom Judah is mentioned will be terrified because of what the Lord Almighty is planning against them. In that day, five cities in Egypt will speak the language of Canaan and swear allegiance to the Lord Almighty. One of them will be called the City of the Sun. In that day there will be an altar to the Lord in the heart of Egypt, and a monument to the Lord at its border. It will be a sign and witness to the Lord Almighty in the land of Egypt. When they cry out to the Lord because of their oppressors, they will send them a savior and a defender, and he will rescue them. So the Lord will make himself known to the Egyptians, and in that day they will acknowledge the Lord. They will worship with sacrifices and grain offerings. They will make vows to the Lord and keep them. The Lord will strike Egypt with a plague. He will strike them and heal them. They will turn to the Lord, and he will respond to their pleas and heal them. In that day there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria. The Assyrians will go to Egypt, and the Egyptians to Assyria. The Egyptians and the Assyrians will worship together. In that day Israel will be the third along the Egypt and Assyrian. In that day Israel will be the third along the Egypt and Syrian, a blessing on the earth. The Lord Almighty will bless them, saying, Blessed be Egypt, my people, Assyria, my handiwork, and Israel, my inheritance. Chapter 20, a prophecy against Egypt and Cush. In the year that the supreme commander, sent by Sargon, king of Assyria, came to Ashdod and attacked and captured it, at that time the Lord spoke through Isaiah, son of Amoz. He said to him, this is the Lord saying to Isaiah, take off your sackcloth from your body and the sandals from your feet. And he did so, going around stripped and barefoot. Then the Lord said, just as my servant Isaiah has gone stripped and barefoot for 3 years as a sign and portent against Egypt and Cush, so the king of Assyria will lead away the stripped and barefoot of the Egyptian captives and the Cushite exiles, young and old, with buttocks bared to Egypt's shame. Those who trusted in Cush and boasted in Egypt will be dismayed and be put to shame. In that day, the people who live on this coast will say, see what has happened to those we rely on, those who we fled to for help and deliverance from the king of Assyria. How then can we escape? A prophecy against Babylon, chapter 21. a prophecy against the desert by the sea. Like whirlwinds sweeping through the southland, an invader comes from the desert, from a land of terror. A dire vision has been shown to me. The traitor betrays, the looter takes loot. Elam attack, Media lay siege. I will bring an end to the groaning she caused. At this my body is racked with pain. Pangs seize me, like those of a woman in labor. I am staggered by what I hear. I am bewildered by what I see. My heart falters. Fear makes me tremble. The twilights I long for has become a horror to me. They set the tables. They spread the rugs. They eat. They drink. Get up, you officers. Oil and shields. Excuse me. Get up, you officers. Oil the shields. This is what the Lord says to me. Go, post a lookout, and have him report what he sees. When he sees chariots with teams of horses, riders on donkeys, or riders on camels, let him be alert, fully alert. And the lookout shouted, Day after day, my lord, I stand on the watchtower. Every night I stay at my post. Look, here comes a man in a chariot with a team of horses. And he looks back the answer, Babylon has fallen. All the images of its gods lay shattered on the ground. My people who are crushed on the threshing floor, I tell you what I have heard from the Lord Almighty, from the God of Israel. A prophecy against Edom. A prophecy against Duma. Anyone calls to me from Seir, Watchman, what is left of the night? Watchman, what is left of the night? The watchman replies, Morning is coming, but is also the night. If you would ask, then ask, and come back yet again. A prophecy against Arabia. You caravans of Dadanis, who camp in the thickets of Arabia, bring water for the thirsty, you who live in Tema. Bring food for the fugitives. They flee from the sword, from the drawn sword, from the bent bow, and from the heat of the battle. This is what the Lord says to me. Within 1 year, as a servant bound by contract, would count it, all the splendor of Kedar will come to an end. The survivors of the archers, the warriors of Kedar, will be few. The Lord, the God of Israel, has spoken. Chapter 22, A Prophecy Against the Valley of Vision. What troubles you know, that you have all gone up on the roofs? You town so full of commotion, you city of tumult and revelry? Your slain were not killed by the sword, nor did they die in battle. All your leaders have fled together. They have been captured without using the bow. All you who were caught were taken prisoners together, having fled while the enemy was still far away. Therefore, I said, turn away from me. Let me weep bitterly. Do not try to console me over the destruction of my people. Again, this is speaking of Jerusalem. Town full of commotion, city of tumult and revelry. People were leaving, right, trying to get away when there was no reason to. They were leaderless. They didn't know what was going on. Verse 4, Therefore I said, Turn away from me. Let me weep bitterly. Do not try to console me over the destruction of my people. This is God speaking. Do not console me over the destruction of my people. The Lord Almighty, has a day of tumult and trampling and terror in the valley of vision, a day of battering down walls and of crying out to the mountains. Elam takes up the quiver with her charioteers and horses. Kir uncovers the shield. Your choicest valleys are full of chariots, and horsemen are posted at the city gates. The Lord stripped away the defenses of Judah, and you looked in that day to the weapons in the palace of the forest. You saw that the walls of the city of David were broken through in many places. You stored up water in the lower pool. You counted the buildings in Jerusalem and tore down houses to strengthen the wall. You built a reservoir between the two walls for the water of the old pool, but you did not look to the one who made it. So here's God again. Sounds to me disappointed. Here they're doing all these things, right? But they didn't ask him. They didn't ask him for help. They didn't ask the Lord, please be with me during this time. Help us, Lord, your chosen people. Help us. They didn't plea for help. They thought they could do it all on their own. Go back to verse 11. You built a reservoir between two walls for the water of the old pool, but you did not look to the one who made it or have regard for the one who planned it long ago. The Lord Almighty called you on that day to weep and to wail, to tear out your hair and to put on sackcloth, But see, there is no joy in revelry, slaughtering a calf, cattle, and killing of sheep, eating of meat, or drinking of wine. Let us eat and drink, you say, for tomorrow we die. The Lord Almighty has revealed this in my hearing. Till your dying day, this sin will be atoned for, says the Lord Almighty. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Go, say to this steward, to Shebna, the palace administrator, what are you doing here, and who gave you permission to cut out a grave for yourself here, hewing your grave on the height or chiseling your resting place in the rock? Beware, the Lord is about to take firm hold of you and hurl you away, you mighty man. He will roll you up tightly like a ball and throw you into a large country. There you will die, and there the chariots you were so proud of will become a disgrace to your master's household. I will dispose you from your office, and you will be ousted from your position. In that day I will summon my servant Eliakim, son of Hilkiah. I will clothe him with your robe and fasten your sash around him and hand him your authority. He will be a father to those who live in Jerusalem and to the people of Judah. I will place on his shoulder the key of the house of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I will drive him like a peg into a firm place. He will become a seat of honor for the house of his father. All the glory of his family will hang on him, its offspring and offshoots, all its lesser vessels, from the bowels of all the jars. In that day, declares the Lord, the peg driven into the firm place will give away. It will be sheared off and will fall, and the load hanging on it will be cut down. The Lord has spoken. Chapter 23, a prophecy against Tyre. Wail, you ships of Tarshish, for Tyre is destroyed and left without house or harbor. From the land of Cyprus, word has come to them. Be silent, you people of the island, and you merchants of Sidon, whom the seafarers have enriched. On the great waters came the grain of the shore. The harvest of the Nile has the revenue of Tyre, and she became the marketplace of the nations. Be ashamed, Sidon, and your fortress of the sea, for the sea has spoken. I have neither been in labor nor given birth. I have neither reared sons nor brought up daughters. When word comes to Egypt, they will be in the anguish at the report from Tyre. Cross over to Tarshish. Wail, you people of the island. Is this your city of revelry, the old, old city, whose feet have taken her to settle in far-off lands, who planned this against Tyre, the bestower of crowns, whose merchants are princes, whose traders are renowned in the earth? The Lord Almighty planned it to bring down her pride in all her splendor and to humble all who are renowned on the earth. Till your land as they are doing along the Nile, daughter Tarshish, for you no longer have a harbor. The Lord has stretched out his hand over the sea and made his kingdoms tremble. He has given an order concerning Phoenicia that her fortress be destroyed. He said, no more of your revelring. Virgin daughter Sidon, now crushed. Up, cross over to Cyprus. Even there you will find no rest. Look at the land of the Babylonians, this people that is now of no account. The Assyrians have made it a place for desert creatures. They raised up their siege towers. They stripped its fortresses bare and turned it into a ruin. Wail, you ships of Tarshish. Your fortress is destroyed. At that time, Tyre will be forgotten for 70 years, the span of a king's life. But at the end of these 70 years, it will happen to Tyre as the song of the prostitute. Take up a harp, walk through the city, you forgotten prostitute. Play the harp well, sing many a song, so that you will be remembered. At the end of 70 years, the Lord will deal with Tyre. She will return to her lucrative prostitution and will ply her trade with all her kingdoms on the face of the earth. Yet her profit and her earnings will be set apart for the Lord. They will not be stored up or hoarded. Her profits will go to those who live before the Lord for abundant food and fine clothes. The Lord's devastation of the earth, chapter 24. See, the Lord is going to lay waste the earth and devastate it. He will ruin its face and scatter its inhabitants. It will be the same for priest as for people, for the master as for his servant, for the mistress as for her servant, for seller as for buyer, for borrower as for lender, for debtor as for creditor. The earth will be completely laid waste and totally plundered. The Lord has spoken his word. The earth dries up and withers. The world languishes and withers. The heavens languish with the earth. The earth is defiled by its people. They have disobeyed the laws, violated the statutes, and broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore, a curse consumes the earth. Its people must bear their guilt. Therefore, earth's inhabitants are burned up, and very few are left. The new wine dries up, and the vine withers. All the merrymakers groan. The joyful trembles are stilled. The noise of the revelers have stopped. The joyful harp is silent. No longer do they drink wine with a song. The beer is bitter to the drinkers. The ruined city lies desolate. The entrance to every house is barred. In the streets they cry out for wine. All joy turns to gloom. All joyful sounds are banished from the earth. The city is left in ruins. Its gates is battered to pieces. So will it be on the earth and among the nations, as when an olive tree is beaten, or as when gleanings are left after the grape harvest. They raise their voices, they shout for joy. From the west they acclaim the Lord's majesty. Therefore in the east give glory to the Lord. Exalt the name of the Lord, the God of Israel, in the islands of the sea. From the ends of the earth we hear singing, glory to the righteous one. But I said, I waste away, I waste away. Woe to me, the treacherous betray. With treachery the treacherous betray. Terror and pit and snare await you, people of the earth. Whoever flees at the sound of terror will fall into a pit. Whoever climbs out of the pit will be caught in a snare. The floodgates of the heavens are opened. The foundations of the earth shake. The earth is broken up, and the earth is split asunder. The earth is violently shaken. The earth reels like a drunkard. It sways like the hut in the wind. So heavy upon it is the guilt of its rebellion that it falls, never to rise again. In that day the Lord will punish the powers in the heavens above and the kings on the earth below. They will be herded together like prisoners bound in a dungeon. They will be shut up in prison and be punished after many days. The moon will be dismayed, the sun ashamed, for the Lord Almighty will reign on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, and before its elders with great glory. What a tremendous imagery of that prophecy of the earth's end. And it mentions, let me find it here. Let's see here. I'm looking for the exact verse. I can't find it, and I apologize. I was looking for the words that, you know, but we basically failed God, right, in across the entire earth. So few believers, so people professing faith in Christ and turning towards God and heeding and living the example that Christ had for us, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. Although people do, many people don't, and then there will be a time when the earth will regret that. And when I say the earth, probably the physical earth, but certainly the people of the earth, there will certainly be a remnant, as there is prophecy of remnant. Let's pray that we are certainly part of that. Chapter 25, Praise to the Lord. Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name. For in perfect faithfulness you have done wonderful things, things planned long ago. You have made the city a heap of rubble, a fortified town a ruin, the foreigner's stronghold a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore strong people will honor you, cities of ruthless nations will revere you. You have been a refuge to the poor, a refuge for the needy in their distress, a shelter from the storm and shade from the heat. For the breath of the ruthless is like a storm driving against a wall, and like the heat of the desert. You silence the uproar of foreigners, as heat is reduced by the shadow of a cloud. So the song of the ruthless is stilled. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this day, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all people, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him, and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice in his salvation. The hand of the Lord will rest on this mountain, but Moab will be trampled in their land as straw is trampled down in the manure. They will stretch out their hands in it as swimmers stretch out their hands to swim. God will bring down their pride despite their cleverness of their hands. He will bring down their high fortified walls and lay them low. He will bring them down to the ground, to the very dust. Chapter 26, a song of praise. In that day this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God makes salvation its walls and ramparts. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter, the nation that keeps faith. You will keep in perfect peace those whose mind are steadfast, because they trust in you. I want to repeat that phrase, that verse, chapter 26, verse 3. You, God, will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Beautiful. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal. He humbles those who dwell on high. He lays the lofty city low. He levels it to the land. He levels it to the ground and casts it down to the dust. Feet trample it down and the feet of the oppressed, the footsteps of the poor. The path of the righteous is level. You, the upright one, make the way of the righteousness smooth. Yes, Lord, walking in your way of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and your renown are the desire of our hearts. My soul yearns for you in the night. In the morning, my spirit longs for you. When your judgments come upon the earth, the people of the world learn righteousness. But when grace is shown to the wicked, they do not learn righteousness. Even in the land of the uprightness, they go on doing evil, and are not regard the majesty of the Lord. Lord, your hand is lifted high, but we do not see it. Let them see your zeal for your people and be put to shame. We're going to stop there. We're at the end of our program, Reflections. Please be sure to listen to us next time. We hope you've enjoyed our program. My name is Jim DeJunis, and I'm reading you today from the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for the people who are blind and for the print impaired. Reflections is available to you as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please give us a call at 919-832-5138. 919-832-5138. Thank you, and may God bless you and those you love.